Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Good to be here and to worship this morning. I've been blessed by being here in the service this morning, the devotions, the Sunday school, and Brother Sanford's devotions was especially interesting to me. I don't think he knew he was laying a good groundwork for the message this morning, especially the little account that he gave of his pickup and prayer. And I would like to, some of my thoughts this morning will go to our response beyond there. And I didn't hear him say if he did this, but for myself, when I face a situation like Sanford did and the Lord answers a prayer, too often I forget to thank him for answering my prayer. And that's some of my thoughts this morning as we go. It's not the first part of the message, but we'll be looking at that as we go into the message. I titled the message this morning just simply "Be Thankful." And I guess my thoughts are drawn to that because of the holiday of Thanksgiving this week, the time that we, most of us, look forward to as we spend time with our families and remember the bounties of the earth that God has blessed us with. At least that's the official reason for the holiday. And I hope as we go through this time and I hope that we do honestly remember the physical blessings that God has blessed us with, and also the spiritual blessings. And the thought entered my mind just briefly that, well, since I wonder, and you know, probably many of us have, we sit down at that big meal and we have a big long prayer of thanks for the food, and then we right away turn around and commit the sin of gluttony soon after that. And I wonder, should we even be celebrating this holiday? And we've kind of made it kind of a religious holiday, and but you know, it's not wrong to be thankful for what God has done for us. And I even wonder, maybe it's good. You know, we have communion, that is a time that we remember what Christ has done for us, and that's a time of thankfulness. And maybe it is good if we remember, especially to think about our physical needs being met. But as we will look at this, this thankfulness needs to happen more than the last Thursday in November, or more than that whole week, but it needs to be a part of our lives each day as we as we walk with God. Just for some opening thoughts to bring us into the message, I'd like to begin reading in Psalm 100. Let me turn there. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And so I would like to take from this that, again, thanksgiving needs to be a big part of our lives. And especially as we worship God, as we come to his presence on a morning like this, that we need to be thankful and remember what God has done for each of us in our lives, especially our spiritual blessings. And praise to God is part of that. And I think of our singing and our ways that we lift our hearts in praise to God. That needs to be a part of us. In verse 5, I took from this that God, it talks about his goodness and his mercy, and he is definitely worthy of our praise as we come before him to worship. And I believe a result of this in our life will be in verse 2, as we are thankful that we will serve the Lord with gladness, that we will be a joy, that we can serve him, and that we will look for ways that we can be of service to God in our lives. And I would like to go back to Luke chapter 17, read the full account that TJ just touched on. I have to say I was just a little nervous when he mentioned that scripture, but I guess that's the beauty of scripture and the beauty of the brotherhood, that we can look at the same scripture and pull two different things out of it and be blessed. Beginning reading in verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And there are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. I'd like to take a look and just picture this scene for us here, these men that were leprosy. And leprosy was a disease that they dreaded very much in these times. It was incurable as far as they knew. And so God, in giving the law, had made very strict rules concerning leprosy to keep it from spreading among the people. And there's quite, if you go back into to the law, there's quite a bit given on this, how they were to decide whether it was leprosy. And they had to, one thing they had to do was go and show to the priests. And if the priest couldn't quite make the determination, they would be held for 7 days and then checked again. But if a person was found to have leprosy, they were banished from the camp. As far as in the wilderness there, banished from the cities, banished from civilization, and they couldn't live at home. They could have no close contact with their family or anyone. And when someone would come too near, they were to warn the people. They were to cry out loudly, unclean, unclean, so that people would stay away from them and not catch this dreaded disease. And, yeah, they were not allowed anywhere in the town. They weren't allowed to go to the temple to worship either. The temple was a holy place, clean, and they were barred from worship. They were outcasts. So when you were, if you were given this diagnosis, this is what you had. It's a very bleak outlook as you looked ahead, your life as an outcast, barely getting enough to eat. Sometimes their families would leave them food. But for the most part, they were the outcasts. And so that's the picture you see. These men, there was 10 of them. I suppose you would congregate with people like you so you could have at least some contact, some back and forth with someone in your lives. But even notice among these people, there was still the Samaritan. I would assume that they, probably because if the rest of them were Jews and the feelings the Jews had toward the Samaritans, that they held this man, even though they had in common the disease, they still probably held him at arm's length. And so we see finally a ray of hope in their lives, Jesus coming to town, and they cry out to him, Have mercy on us. And we have Jesus being sympathetic to their need and going and telling them to go to the priest. And this was, if your skin problem cleared up, you were to go to the priest. And in some of my reading with the about this leprosy, there was probably a lot of skin diseases that kind of got lumped under the term leprosy because they didn't know what they were. And so it was occasionally that they would get healed, but the priest had to say they were healed. And so they were sent to go to the priest. And as they went, it says here that they were cleansed. And you can, if you picture the difference that made, these men that a short time earlier this morning were without hope, suddenly there was a whole future opened up in front of them. They looked, their hands were cured, and they looked at each other, their faces were what they should have been, and now they can go home, now they can go back and live a normal life, now they can see their families again, and they can work, and they can go and worship in the temple again, and they can live a normal life. But yet they forget one thing, as we often do. They forgot one thing. They forgot to say thank you. All except the one, and it was this Samaritan, the one that was still the outcast among the others. A one that his people was looked down on, but somehow he recognized. And what made this man come back? What made this man come back and say thank you to Jesus for what he had done for him? And we could ask, what made these other men not come back? What made them so ungrateful? And maybe it is just our human nature sometimes. We get excited and we forget about things and we forget to go back. I'd like to go back to Luke chapter 7. Verse 41, we're breaking into the account of a woman that anointed Jesus' feet, and maybe we should just read that whole account. Verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. And there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which one of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. So we see here the one who is forgiven the most, loving the most. And if a person in our lives today, looking at it from our perspective today, the more we have a sense of what Christ has saved us from in his work on Calvary, the more of sense we have of what we have been forgiven from, the more we are going to love, I believe. And we think here of the story of the man who had been forgiven the huge debt of money. There was a man that owed his ruler a huge amount of money. That one, it was so large that there was no way he could pay it off. And we see his Lord forgiving this debt, this huge debt, and then him going out and not being able to forgive a debt of a man that owed him just a small amount. And so thinking this morning of our sins and of what we owed for our sins, have you this morning been forgiven little or forgiven much? And I believe that how we feel about this debt that has been paid for us freely is how we are going to, the effect is it's going to have a large effect on how thankful we are to God this morning and what he has done for us, how grateful we are for what God has done for me and in my life. And this attitude will affect not only this area of life, but every area in our life, how thankful we are for the other blessings that God has given to us. We could say the secondary blessings, our families, our material blessings are secondary to what the gift of salvation, what Christ has given us on Calvary. I'd like to turn to Romans 1:21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And you could read on in this chapter and see the progression deeper and deeper into sin. And it became clear as I studied the importance of thankfulness and notice that when these people, one of their first steps away from God is they weren't thankful. They forgot to be thankful for what God had done for them. And I believe that is a first step away from a close relationship with God in our lives. And the Bible's full of examples of this. As we look through the Old Testament, we can look time and time again and see how the lack of a thankful spirit took people away from God. And there's a couple things that would happen. And I think of the children of Israel as they journeyed in the wilderness, and often their faith in God became weak. And we see how unthankful they were for the blessings that God gave them in their lives, the physical blessings even. They had been delivered from slavery in Egypt, and God gave them food every morning. He gave them water. Sometimes they wondered where the water was coming from. But as they, God satisfied all their needs. But they often were weak in their faith in God. Another thing that happened was that we and the people in the Old Testament tend to forget God during the time when things are going well. And you read later on in the Bible, read the book of Judges, and it's a cycle that just repeats itself over and over again with the people. As they, when they come to the end of themselves, they cry out to God. God delivers them, and they soon go their own way again and forget to be thankful. It maybe doesn't say that in those words, but when it was going well, they soon walked away from God, which I believe is a lack of thankfulness for what he has done for them. And they didn't realize that their strength lay in God, and they thought they could do it on their own. And if you look at the contrast to this, when they did rely on God, there's bright times in the Old Testament as well when the people relied on God, when they remained faithful and were thankful, and when they recognized what God had done for them, that's when God could accomplish the things in their lives, the works. And I thought of the time in King Jehoshaphat's time when a great army had come out against him, and there was no physical way that they would be able to win this battle on their own. And they were told to praise God, and probably this is the only time in history where the singers went out before the army, and they praised God, and they thanked him for what he was going to do for them, and God won a mighty victory for the people that day because they praised him. Another example is that of Daniel, when the king had had a dream and couldn't remember what the dream was, and he wanted the wise men to tell him what the dream was and what the interpretation of it was. And Daniel prayed, but when God gave him the wisdom, gave him the answers for this, that he glorified God. It was God that had worked him. He didn't take the credit to himself. And so I'd like to ask the question today, are we in our hearts any different than the people of the Old Testament? And does our level of thankfulness today reveal anything about the condition of our hearts and of our relationship with God? I think we ought to, each of us, think about that. I have some hindrances of what keeps us from being thankful today. First one I have is a lack of understanding of what we have been saved from. And I wonder sometimes if we that have been raised in our sheltered Mennonite homes, do we actually understand some of the things that we have been saved from? I think it's easy for us to forget some of this sometimes. And there's some of the verses in the Bible, there is none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. And I know that I myself fall into this, that I don't often think enough about what Christ has done for me. I think where maybe I could have been if God hadn't reached out and spoken in my life. And I think of some of the temptations that I faced, and I think of the tendencies that I know are in my heart, that if I wouldn't have been blessed to be where I am, I don't know where some of them would have led. And I'm thankful today for what God has spared me from, and for the evil habits that I've been spared from. And could it be that we also, maybe we can have a tendency, I didn't have to go through some of those things, and maybe we have a tendency sometimes to look down on those that haven't been spared from some of those. And I thought of the account of the Pharisee and the publican that went to pray. And the Pharisee, maybe he said what's in our hearts sometimes, that I'm thankful that I'm not like this man over here. The attitude of superiority that he had toward this man. Another hindrance would be a lack of understanding of the greatness of God. And that goes right along with the first point. But do we understand who God is compared to us as mere little humans here on the earth? Do we understand the greatness of God? And I think of Isaiah when he had that vision of God, said it high and lifted up, that Isaiah realized who he was. And I think we need to realize where we stand without God, before a holy God, before the one that created and is still in control of all things. Another hindrance could be our possessions that we have here, our ease of living in this land. Maybe this is another thing that keeps us from meditating on what God has done for us. This rich land that we live in, we're considered among the richest people in the world. And do we know what it's actually like to be dependent on God for our daily needs, even down to our food that we eat? And I think so easily we can trust in ourselves and our good judgment, or what we consider as our good judgment that keeps us going. And we forget that these are God's blessings that he has entrusted to us to use, and that they are not actually ours, but they are still God's, and that God has trusted them to us to use wisely and to give and to share with others of our blessings. I have a list of verses here about thankfulness or being thankful. I'm just going to read down through them here without making a lot of comment on them. Colossians 1 verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Colossians 2 verse 7, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hebrews 13:15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So I just want to touch on here the importance of thankfulness in our life. It appears like it should be, it needs to be just a vital part of our worship. It's that we are thankful as we approach God, that we are thankful for what God has done for us. I have some marks here of a faithful person, marks of a faithful person. Number one is that we are grateful to God for what he has done for us. And I believe if we are, this will be evident in our lives. People will see that we are thankful to God for what he has done for us. Number two, a thankful attitude to other people. This also will flow into our lives as we work with those around us. We will be thankful for the help we receive for those around us. Number three, forgiving. As God has forgiven us, we will be forgiving to those around us. Number four is generous. Again, along with being forgiving and the others, that we will look for ways that we can help others as we remember how God has helped us. Number five is to be cheerful, that we are happy to do this. Think of the verse back in Psalm 100, that we serve the Lord with gladness. And number six, serves others, motivated to be a servant, following the example of Christ as he served others. And so may we, as we go through the Thanksgiving season, here, let's remember and be thankful for what God has done for us, the blessings that he has so richly blessed us with, physical and spiritual blessings. And may we be motivated to follow Christ's example, to pass on these blessings to others, and let's be a thankful people. Let's kneel for prayer.